You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last week, a One News Canter public poll found 50% of Kiwis don't want Aotearoa to become a republic. Just 27% said they were in favour of ditching the monarchy, a drop from last November when the same question was asked. To discuss this poll and whether it's time for Aotearoa to become a republic, I spoke with the New Zealand Republic campaign chair, Lewis Holden.
We've had this convo on the wire, actually, all the way back to 2018, as far as I can tell, about whether New Zealand should become a republic, whether it's an appropriate time. So now with the Queen's death last month, what's changed?
Well, I think from our perspective in terms of the campaign, what's changed is that there's certainly a lot more interest in the debate than there has been for quite a few years. So there's clearly more people who are interested in what it might mean and what the implications are. But obviously, the polling shows that there's a number of people who are still mourning for the Queen. And so that, as you would expect, because it's been on the TV and radio and everywhere quite a bit, support's actually gone up a little bit for the monarchy.
And obviously this poll was taken during the official mourning period in the aftermath of the Queen dying. So do you expect the support for New Zealand becoming a republic increasing in the coming months or even years?
We would say so, especially over the long term. One of the interesting things about the TVNZ polling is that they've been running theirs for years. And they had, in the 90s, you know, support for the monarchy up in, I think it was the 80% mark. 10 years ago, they ran a poll when Charles visited in 2012, and support was about 70%. So to be at 50% after a mourning period is actually, over time, quite a significant drop in support, even though they did record a bit of a blip. So that's sort of as you'd expect, but we'd expect that trend to continue. And the main divide in this debate is between young and old, and it simply comes down to older New Zealanders like the monarchy and younger New Zealanders would like to have a New Zealand citizen as head of state.
Increasing support for New Zealand becoming a republic has kind of coincided, obviously, with the Queen getting older and not having as many official public duties. But could part of it also be, I guess, King Charles's unpopularity?
Yeah, certainly from when we've done our own surveys and polling on this, it's clear that there's a major difference between the Queen and Charles in terms of popularity. There's a number of reasons for that. The Queen, I think, though, had a lot of nostalgia sort of around her, particularly for people who'd lived through and been a part of the Second World War, because obviously the Queen served during that. And that sort of post-war period, Charles has never had any of those kind of, touch points that a whole society would have. Mm. And he's had a very long time as Prince of Wales, obviously, the longest of anyone. So he's never been able to make that kind of connection that the Queen had.
Both Jacinda Ardern and Christopher Luxon have signalled support or said that they can see New Zealand becoming a republic in the near future. However, both of them have refused to campaign on it, especially with the election next year. Do you think it's risking political capital to kind of make this an issue to campaign on?
Oh, absolutely. This is an issue that, kind of like the flag debate that we went through, 8 years ago now, that politicians look at it and go, I might lose some votes here, so I'd rather stick to the bread and butter issues of, jobs, the economy, climate change, that sort of thing. So they'll focus on those things during election campaign. The challenge that we've got, of course, you've got obviously the support, which is slowly increasing for a republic, but generally speaking, people who support a republic have been quite shy about it. And partly I think that's due to the nature of the institution. With a monarchy, it's quite easy to celebrate the thing, put up some Union Jack bunting and all that sort of stuff, and all of the fun events and things that they have. Yeah. Whereas, with what we're talking about in terms of a republic campaign, that's very much that sort of, democratic process, which is, not as exciting. We don't have as many good parties. So there's that sort of reality, I think, with the campaign as well, which is just not as appealing for the politicians. But that will change with time as support increases.
Mm, I've definitely seen hardcore monarchists, but not as much people campaigning hardcore in the same way on the other side.
Yeah. Yeah. We're quite shy about putting our views forward, which I think may be changing now with Charles as king.
Moving on to what a republic would look like in Aotearoa, how would you like to see a new head of state appointed?
Sure. So obviously the issue of how you appoint the head of state is one of the big dividing issues when it comes to a republic. What we propose is essentially we take the system that we use at the moment for appointing the Governor General and we codify it. So in other words, a head of state would be appointed by a supermajority of Parliament. Because generally speaking, when we've appointed Governors General, they've usually been people who've had the support of all the parties in Parliament. And so that person then is someone who's neutral and doesn't necessarily favour any particular party, which is important because that role has, you know, particular reserve powers, especially around, you know, sacking prime ministers and dissolving Parliament for new elections. So that's what we propose as a first step. And then as a second step, you could then have a review and then potentially a vote about whether or not that would move from parliamentary appointment to direct election. So that's in essence our proposal. You'd still have a prime minister who would be head of the government, and the head of state would have just limited reserve powers to keep them in check around, as I said, hiring and firing the prime minister and things like dissolving parliament.
There is kind of that support for an independent head of state that is democratically elected in. However, some people have raised concerns, some Māori leaders actually, they've raised concerns of what Te Tiriti or Waitangi, what role it would have in a state with an independent head of state, because obviously the treaty was signed between the Crown and Māori iwi, but without the Crown as part of it, they are concerned that a lot of treaty obligations wouldn't be met. What do you make of all this?
Well, I think the fear and the nervousness around Te Tiriti o Waitangi is justified, especially, you know, for those of us who know the history of the treaty in New Zealand. It's been, you know, obviously quite fraught since the signing in 1840. So I think that perspective is completely understandable. When you look at what the academics say on this issue, though, what this really comes down to is a question of how you would put into any legislation establishing a republic, protection in terms of that relationship between Māori and the government. Now, Moana Jackson, late Moana Jackson, talked about a relationship in terms of kāwanatanga, which is the government, which is obviously, you know, established by the Treaty of Waitangi, the civil government that is in the treaty itself, and Māori iwi. So you would codify that into law. Now, Sir Geoffrey Palmer, former Prime Minister, who's also a law professor, has put a proposal on how you would actually put that into law, which is what we're campaigning for, is any move has to have a very clear clause protecting the Treaty of Waitangi in it.
Could you run us through the values behind the New Zealand Republic campaign?
There's three main reasons why, and they are independent. So we are an independent country already. We just don't have a head of state that actually reflects that to the world. It's also about our democracy. It's simply wrong to have someone who's chosen by accident of birth, which is what we've got with the British monarch as our head of state. And thirdly, it's about, you know, kotahitanga, so bringing us together. Having someone who actually unites all of us and represents us to the world. And so what we're campaigning for is an independent head of state. That would probably be someone like people that have been appointed as our governors general, so prominent New Zealanders who actually have some mana and, you know, have the ability to represent us on the world. And that's not just a trivial point about, you know, who might turn up on Anzac Day and all those sorts of things. It's actually quite important when you look at our ability to, for example, in international agreements, have someone there who actually is representing New Zealand as our head of state. We don't have that at the moment under the status quo. And so our diplomats will tell you that basically when, you know, they try and advocate for New Zealand, which is not an easy thing to do because we are a small country in the South Pacific struggle for relevance often, that we actually make things doubly hard for ourselves because we have this institution of the British monarchy as our head of state,
right?
Which then means that we're at a double disadvantage. So what we're saying is that with an independent head of state, we would actually be able to make those diplomatic connections a lot easier.
Definitely something to watch in the near future then.
Yeah. And look, it's going to be, it's a long-term thing. We've sort of set the goal of 2040 by the time we'd like this change to happen by, because that's obviously the 200th anniversary of Te Tiriti o Waitangi. So we'd like to have that sort of symbolic link.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.